Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the pod. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, guys.
2024. We have, obviously, our favorite honorary co-host on for the first episode of Season 3 / 2024. Hello.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
What's up, guys?
You're back.
Oh, we're also in a new space.
Yeah. Maybe new season, new studio space with 1990 Studios. I don't know if you can tell. Same sort of theme, same vibe, but
walls are brighter.
New energy.
Yeah.
Airflow.
Airflow.
Great. Yeah. You know, it's just like everything's anew.
Everything's anew. So what's up, guys? How was your week?
Not bad.
First week of January.
Well, me and Roman started off 2024 in Florida. We just got back recently. So it was kind of weird for me because I feel like everyone at home was like starting, like it was like January 2nd. Everyone's like, hey, back to work, back to the grind. And we're just kind of like on the beach, like chilling. And it kind of felt weird. Like, I don't know if I liked it or not. I almost felt like this urge and sense like, oh my God, I need to like get back to things. Like, how am I just like chilling here? You know, and like,
why though? It's just another week. Like January 1st week is like just another week of like life. It's not like, okay, everybody, like I also wasn't working on January 1st.
I'm talking about like that first week.
Oh, okay, I guess.
You know what I mean? Like I just kind of felt like, but yeah, we were in Florida, which was fun. We'll come back to that later. Yeah, how was your week so far?
Not bad. Haven't been able to sleep properly, you know, like, when you're off work for so long, your sleep schedule gets so fucked. But
I feel like sleeping after the holidays, like the sleep schedule after the holidays, just that like weird time between Christmas and New Year's, then even after New Year's, like it's just weird.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get into that later. A little bit of the like the pressures of like coming into a new year, and like the month of January just gives me anxiety, and nobody talks about it. But we'll get to that later. First,
After the new year and Christmas, I've had like gut issues and like stomach issues. I'm just starting to combat because I think I've always had gut issues. I'm not going to go too much detail because like I'm sure you know what comes with gut issues, but
diarrhea.
Diarrhea and constipations, like both mixed.
It's called IBS, and I keep telling her it's IBS, and just to like get to the bottom of it because it's
no. Okay, so I've been ruling out things that have like so. First of all, my New Year's resolution was to start cooking because everyone's like, "You suck at cooking and you can't cook." But like, do I really suck at cooking? Yeah. I've never really tried.
You've never put in the effort.
No, I haven't. I've never really like look through a recipe and made something or like watch somebody do it and then do it. So I'm like, how do I know I suck if I don't try it? Everyone's just telling me I suck, so I assume that I suck because one time I couldn't boil up an egg.
You're not like really trying.
Yeah, I'm just
not
like, oh, I suck anyways.
No, I think that when she does it, she's like not patient with it. She's just like,
that's
wants
why.
To go.
So I haven't really,
she's not like interested in learning about it or didn't
so I haven't
care
really
to
tried,
do it.
But recently I'm like, I'm interested. I've like went grocery shopping, got things for myself that I want to make. So I've like scheduled a meal plan and, I learned a new recipe, and it's pasta fagioli / minestrone, and I made it yesterday.
Minestrone.
Pasta fagioli, sorry. And it was so good. And I got it from my boyfriend's aunt, like, the recipe, and, like, France even tried it. He said, this is actually bomb.
Yeah.
9 out of 10. I was like, oh, my God. And mom was eating it. She goes, where'd you buy this? I'm like, oh, the grocery store. She goes, wow, it's really good. I'm like, yeah, I made it.
What did she say?
She said, now you're going to keep making this recipe the whole time. I'm like, no, I'll do more. But, like, that's a good start. Like, that's a good start to have.
She said, now you're going to make this all the time.
Because it's the only thing you make. It was really good. I'll make it for you guys once. You can
try make us
maybe
a to-go bag.
Maybe I'll do a taste test of, like, because remember you were like, I'm hungry. Do you have food? I'm like, yeah, this pasta fagioli. Because I wanted you to come over and see if, like, you liked
it. Why didn't
it
you bring it to me?
Because if you know it's from me, you're not going to like it. You're going to be like,
no,
it
that's
sucks.
Not true. Well, you do the same thing to me. I actually make food all the time.
Sorry, no, you make Christmas bark, and that one was, like, weird. Your Christmas bark wasn't that good. So I was honest with you. It wasn't good Christmas bark.
Okay.
Anyways, as I was going with this, we're taking on cooking. And then as I'm taking on cooking, I'm ruling out things that, like, bother my stomach. And the main thing is coffee. Like, coffee F's you up. Like, people are so addicted to it.
I was fucking saying that shit like 5 episodes I was on ago.
But
about
coffee could also like be the only thing that makes some people go to the bathroom, seriously.
But it is so
no, but that's
to start
good.
Your day with coffee
yeah,
and
on
like
an empty
and,
stomach. I don't think you should start. I start every day with hot water and lemon. That's how I start every day. And if I don't have any lemon, I'll just do like a tea. But starting it with hot water and lemon coats my stomach. I do it every single that's like one of my non-negotiables.
But even
I
coffee
do.
During the day, I'll like go shit right after, but it's not like a good No, it's not a good bowel movement. It's, yeah, like, it's like, ugh, like runny and gross. Unsettling. TMI, but like, yeah. Hey, like, sorry, TMI, but like, so I've cut out coffee, and then this is so old ladyish, but I've been eating prunes.
Oh, I just bought dates. Ask him.
And they're actually so good. Them. Like, everyone thinks prunes are gross. Like, the texture just, like, reminds
isn't
me
it like
of, like,
a big
wait,
reason?
Are dates,
it looks
are
like
dates
big...
the same as prunes? Similar, right?
I think prunes, a dried plum. Date is a dried something else. I don't know.
I bought dates and I dipped them. I dipped
the dates plum. Dried raisin, a bigger raisin?
It's they're like big.
It looks
look like
a big
raisin,
yeah.
So that's like a prune. But prunes are dried plums. And like they
you should get dates.
A, they're actually really good. They taste actually decent. Like
you should dip them in nut butter.
Yeah, but I've been cutting them in half and putting peanut butter inside.
It's actually good.
And it like increases my bowel movement. So buy prunes and don't drink coffee on empty stomach. That's such basic advice. But like those are two things that I've kind of been doing. Mm-hmm. And obviously processed foods. Like that actually like
yeah.
Like the end towards the end of
Red 40.
2023. What's red 40?
Like those
when
like
you when foods are red
ass ingredients.
Yeah,
like hot Cheetos are red because there's red 40 in them.
Yeah. So, anyways, that's my little spiel on what I've been doing in the New Year's.
My health kick spiel is kind of like similar that like I've been dealing with stomach issues for years, and I was like 2024 is the year where I am going to actually make a change and not just do little things here and there and then think something's going to randomly happen. Like I'll start reading about IBS, low FODMAP diet. Let me just go do that for a little bit. Nothing happens. And then blah, blah, blah. Like I'm back at square one. So even before January started in December, I was going to doctors, naturopaths, like doing all these tests and stuff. And basically now I scheduled a food allergy test. So I'm going to know exactly what bothers my stomach. I'm going to invest in it. If you work and have benefits, it's covered usually. Actually, it's not usually covered. Like, you might have to have, like, a health spending account. I don't really know, but I don't know. I'm willing to invest in myself and my health, so I'm going to find out exactly what bothers me. Second thing I'm doing is on the new journal app in my phone, I keep a...
What's the app called?
Journal. Oh. It looks like this. I don't use it as a journal. I use it as a diet diary. So I'll write down in the morning what I eat, from breakfast all the way to dinner, my snacks, the workouts I did that day and how I'm feeling. Like, for example, this morning I put hot water with lemons. Then I did a workout with no food before.
That's
I felt like
smart.
Shit. Like
ugh,
I,
that's the worst.
So when I like, I'll write it down. And I'm seeing a pattern in like the way that I eat. And like when my stomach's hurting versus
are you also keeping, sorry. Are you also keeping track of like the calories too?
No.
Like, are you eating enough? I feel like you don't eat. I feel like you don't eat like enough throughout the day as
well. I'm not keeping track of the calories, but the amount of food, yeah, because I don't have a good relationship with food when I start keeping track of the calories, because it'll be like for
then
your,
you get like too technical
yeah,
with it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I've done it before, and like I just get like too crazy, and I don't want to go there anymore.
So
but
you're just more looking at like you're making sure you have the right meals.
I'm making sure that like firstly, I'm trying to see what bothers my stomach. I'm going to do the food allergy test and it'll tell me exactly, but I'm also like seeing it in accordance to like how I feel. So like, for example, yesterday, me and Roman bought bread. Wow. Okay. And because like he likes sandwiches for work. Right. So I was like, I'm going to try making myself a sandwich for lunch, which I would never do because
you never eat sandwiches.
Yeah. Because in my head, I've always thought
or like cold cuts.
No. Yeah.
It's like
never
a perfectly balanced meal.
Yeah.
You get the carbs
like,
and the bread.
Tomato,
like,
but in my head, I'm like sandwich equals bad carbs, deli meat's bad. Like,
deli meat's not bad.
Mayo, I mean, it's not their
it's
best.
It's not
food.
Like,
it's not great.
Like, mortadella is probably not good for
but
you.
We
but
bought
like,
organic, we bought like organically raised, whatever, like smoked ham, and it was
I
like
mean,
nitrate
whatever
free,
the fuck that
like whatever.
Means,
we tried to get, the point is, we tried to get like good quality food. So I was like, I'm staring at the bread and I'm like, okay, this is how my relationship with food needs to change, because I would usually just like eat crackers with some soup and that like barely eat anything.
How's that feeling?
Like,
though?
It's not, and I would just snack on random shit. So I'm like, let me see. So I ate half, like I didn't use a whole baguette or a whole bun. I just ate like a quarter of a bun, and I put like meat in it and like some cheese, and I ate it. And so I wrote down in my diary, like,
is that why I had half a sandwich yesterday?
Yeah. This is literally what I wrote. Sandwich with regular bread. Wow. Half of the bun. And then I had.
Wow. Why did you put wow?
Because I would never eat that. Like because,
you put wow.
Yeah, because in my head, my relationship with some of these foods, just I've like. Over the years have accumulated, like, this equals bad. Bread is bad. And, like,
what
hold on.
The pescatarian you? Well, actually, I didn't have fish only or whatever. That's what I mean. That's what I mean about relationship with food. Like, I feel like you switch so much. I'm not trying to hate on you. I'm just being like constructive criticism. You switch so much of your diet and it like you.
But that's why I'm keeping a diet diary.
I think what you're doing now is actually good. Yeah. Because you're keeping track of it.
I'm keeping track of it. Anyways, point of the matter is I was fine after I ate the sandwich. Like I felt full. And in my, I wrote it in my diary, feeling really full. But does this mean bloated? Like, is like it's almost like I have this like weird relationship with like feeling bloated. That like when I feel full, I think I'm bloated, but I'm just full.
You're just full.
Like, which is and really, I haven't been eating until I'm full. I'm eating until like I'm almost full because I don't want to be bloated. And that's how I'm always thinking.
That's fine too, though. You don't like. They say it's bad to eat when until you're like fucking.
No, I don't mean like that. I just mean like after I ate the sandwich, I felt like I ate like a meal. I was like full. And I was like, okay, like nothing happened. But like
comfortable, right? But you weren't like uncomfortable.
And at the end of the day, like I was fine. Like I didn't, like it didn't fuck up my stomach. Nothing really happened. And I'm like, okay, maybe I'm okay with bread. Maybe it's like a certain amount of bread.
But maybe your stomach's hurting because you're not eating enough during the day and you're snacking on random shite, like shit. Like, sorry. I don't know why. What the fuck?
Random shite?
Maybe hot. I've been doing accents recently when I speak, like it's
just
weird.
By accident.
I might have brain fog, and I'd be like, so I'll be like, you want to watch a movie? And like, I don't know, minute. Sorry,
oh random shit
during the day that's upsetting your stomach. Like, you'll have snacker.
Are you okay? Like, what the
like, you'll have crackers,
yeah. Like, I'll have snacks, they're still healthy snacks, but I'm not eating these full meals. So, the point of the matter is, I am trying to actually change this year my relationship with food, and hopefully, that makes me feel better physically as well. Because I'm tired of always having stomach aches and like not feeling energized at the gym, and like, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah. We'll see how this diet diary, like, I'm gonna for sure continue it. Oh, no's calling me,
he called me too.
We will continue it, and then I'll let you guys know what happens on the food allergy test. I'm very interested.
You should vlog it.
Imagine I'm, like, allergic to something I eat every day, like eggs. I eat those often.
Someone like you needs to know, like, what you're allergic to. Because you won't stop thinking, what if I'm allergic to this? What am I allergic to?
You just won't eat it.
And you just go in, like, this fucking vicious cycle of never, like, yeah.
I really am learning, too, this year, everything truly in moderation. Like, I will restrict myself from things and then I'll binge it, or like I'll like stop eating beef entirely because like it upsets my stomach.
Yeah, like, but that's it's not like, necessarily good unless
it,
like
it only upset my stomach because I was eating it often. So like if I eat beef once, like we went to Steak 954 in Florida, I had some Wagyu.
Yeah, and good quality beef also makes a difference.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
difference.
Yeah,
like McDonald's beef, like,
yeah.
Anyway, so that's my little health journey. I know Rome also has his own health journey that he's focusing on.
It's kind of similar to yours, you know, like I, with work, my work schedule, I was just not eating properly. Like the time I wouldn't eat breakfast. I would eat at 11 a.m. and I was eating like a big lunch, which I would never finish eating because like my stomach, it was the first thing going in my stomach for the day. So like, I wasn't like hungry to eat at all. And it just like led to me eating basically just dinner. So like, I was always so tired. And
he would come home and his like lunch from the night before was still there. So we decided, like, how can we help Rome like eat more? So I was like, let's just make you sandwiches.
I came up with that. It was my conclusion.
No, that was my conclusion. And I
I said, let's just do sandwiches. I'll just do a sandwich every day for lunch.
Okay, I'll let you have that. But
I literally said that.
Okay. Anyways, so like every week we're going and like getting like stuff for his sandwiches, and we'll make sandwiches, and then like I'll give him, or like he'll pick like whatever fruit that he wants for that day and like snacks, so that he's eating like a bunch of little things, and like you feel good and full and you come home and you're hungry as fuck again, which is good, you know, and like hopefully that helps you too with like feeling more energized and less
tired. I do. I literally feel better.
Seems like you're doing better.
Also, drink water.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, but water solves 99% of your issues.
I'm sorry,
like,
but this is so good.
That is really good.
Like, I just find myself like drinking it. Really, yeah, it's not sponsored.
But anyways, water, like I
cover it.
I don't drink water enough. And as I've started to drink water, it's made my bowel movements better. It's made my skin better. It made me like get less headaches. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. Water just solves like all your issues, and I never drink it. But
it's a given. And
Replace coffee in the morning with like a bottle of water. Just chug a fucking bottle of water.
Or even at night, like have it by your bed when you wake up, or like when you middle of the night.
Pro tip, buy a cute coaster for the sides, for your bedside table. I bought a cute little matte black coaster that I just like place my little like water cup on when I go to bed, and it just like looks nice standing there, you know? So like, I learned that when you make things accessible and like nice to look at, you'll be more susceptible to like picking it up and doing it. So like if you want to read a book, leave the book like cute all on your nightstand or open with like a nice bookmark on your dresser and you'll be like, oh, my book, like I'll read it.
I actually agree. The things that are on display in my room, I like don't want to touch it because it looks nice and so I feel like it's not functional. I don't know how to explain it.
But no, but you have to make it functional.
No, I know, but like...
That's my whole point. You make it functional. You put the book, you lay it out on like a book stand with a bookmark and you pick it up and you read it and you put it back. Like yeah, it's like a system, right? Yeah, like you're creating systems for yourself and that way you're more susceptible to actually do them.
If you have a cute water bottle, you're going to want to drink it because like it looks cute. Yeah,
exactly. You have a coaster on the side of your bed, you'll be like, oh, like it's empty.
It's like appealing. Let me put a glass of water there. Like you want to, you know?
Use it. Yeah. I want to pivot to things I've watched this week because I watched some good movies. The first one, Saltburn, which I feel like everyone now and their mothers have seen.
Yeah, but
but I have opinions on it.
Go ahead.
So before me and Fran, my boyfriend, watched Saltburn, like he had no idea what it was going into it. I didn't either, but I saw on TikTok like the most disturbing movie, like ew. I didn't see any clips though. Then when I watched it, I'm like, that's not that bad. Like
I literally thought the same thing.
It wasn't like... Oh, it was obviously like my jaw was kind of like, ew, like, what are you doing? But it wasn't like, oh my God, like so disturbing. Like maybe because I like horror movies and I've watched things that are like actually like disgusting. Yeah. But like, obviously that was like, also another thing, I felt it was so unrealistic. And I don't know if it was supposed to be like that. And it was just kind of like the storyline. But how would he not get caught doing the things that he did?
Like what?
Was no one looking into the mom, like how her tube was really ripped out on the floor. Was no one looking into like
this guy?
That's what I said. I was randomly... like, realistically, there's no other family member or kinship, next of kin anywhere.
No, well, but the theory was that like the Duncan guy, like the server, he knew that like Oliver killed him, but the Duncan guy wasn't
Duncan.
Duncan, the butler. Oh. He knew that Oliver killed all of them, but his concern wasn't who was living at Saltburn. It was just like Saltburn itself. So like whoever becomes Saltburn, he serves. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Like
he doesn't care who.
What ended up happening to him? They didn't even show.
Nothing. He became Oliver's butler. Like he, like you know.
I think no one really found out because like they were on this like, like little fucking 10-acre plot of land, you know, like they weren't really like leaving and shit.
I like movies like that, to be honest. Like I thought it was okay.
I thought it was good. Too.
It wasn't disturbing. It was like the scenes were like hard to watch, cringe. Like
I'm the only
because it was just like the who worst does that, one. You know,
the worst scene was the graveyard scene. I was like, yeah, that's a little far for me.
Yeah, it's like a little bit.
But everything else was just kind of like it was like. I didn't close my eyes.
Yeah, it was like cringe. It was just like
the worst scene for me actually was when he left his friend at the table and went to go show the other people. Like, yeah, my friend's not here. And the guy was waiting for him after he went back from the bathroom. That nerdy guy.
Yeah,
that was like that for me was like the worst scene. I got like secondhand embarrassment. I was kind of like, that's so like rude and embarrassing.
Yeah.
And then I also watched. Sam's not gonna like this one. But I watched The Society of Snow. You might like it. So it's based on true stories.
Yeah, Fran was telling me about
the plane crash in the Andes. I know.
Bro,
I know.
We literally only talked.
Fran was like, watch this movie. It's about plane crash. I'm like, I can't escape like plane crashes. Like, what the fuck? I don't want to like watch it. But I ended up watching it. And it's about this Uruguayan rugby team who goes in a plane and they end
up. Wasn't this a true story?
Yeah. And they end up crashing in the Andes. Okay. Which is, I think, a mountain range between Chile and Argentina.
Yeah, it's in South America, yeah.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but they end up crashing there, okay? A few people die initially from the crash, and then they all start dying off because it's negative 30 degree weather, there's snow, there's avalanches, they have to face like a bunch of shit. So I think only 16 people end up getting rescued 2 months later. They were in the Andes for 2 months, search rescues couldn't find them because they were like in the snow so deep, and they had to live off the mountain range for 2 months. They had to like burn clothes and make, I don't know, it was just, and usually I wouldn't like movies like this, but this one actually like touched my heart because it seemed like, it was almost like so inspirational that these people were that, like survivors like that. Like two people volunteered, they walked 10 days from where they were to like a valley in Chile, found somebody to call for help and then rescued everybody else. It's like, how can you walk for 10 days in negative 30 degree weather, sleep on mountains? Like, I don't know. Like,
I'm actually down to watch that. Like,
a good movie to be invested in. That you wouldn't like it, but it was really good.
The plane crashes the first like 10 minutes and then it's about,
but it's like, it's a scary plane crash. Like that, you wouldn't dream about that happening. I mean, again, it was a long time ago. It was, I don't think they do that route anymore. Like they had to go like above the mountain and
they try to avoid mountains now because the air pockets.
Well, it was a pilot error. Like he like went up, 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 and then didn't didn't go around the mountain, so it clipped half the plane. Half the plane fell out. The other half went down a mountain.
So, like I said, I want to, like, circle back to me in Rome, like, going to Florida. We're there for quite a while. I feel like I could live there. Like,
100%.
Maybe not exactly where we were, but I feel like it's somewhere where, like, I genuinely think I would thrive. Especially being back home for a couple of weeks. Now, we were there for such a long time. It wasn't, like, super hot because of El Nino, but, like...
It's El Nino.
We're having an El Nino winter.
What's... Oh, is that, like, just, like, a...
It's, like, a... It's like it a comes around winter. Every... I don't know how many years, but, like, basically, you know how, like, here this winter in Toronto, Canada, it's not that cold as it usually is? In Florida, it's not as warm. Or, like, when you went to Cuba, it wasn't as warm. That's,
yeah, it wasn't as warm, but was it was, like, 20, like, low 20s?
Yeah.
Yeah, at night it was, like, 10 degrees.
Chilly, right? Yeah. Same in Cuba. It was, like, freaking cold.
Yeah,
was,
like, you needed, like, a sweater or a jacket. Yeah. So, yeah, and I was just thinking about it. Like, being back here, especially in the winter, I'm genuinely, like, struggling. Like, from being there for so long. We were there for, like, 2.5 weeks or something. And... coming here, it's gloomy, it's cold, it's like depressing. And I'm like, I think that the only thing stopping me would be like, I'd miss my family and like my dog. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That would be really the only thing. But other than that, excuse me, like, I just feel like I could live there in like more of a beach town, not so inland, like kind of where we were for some of it. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you think.
That's why a lot of people get vacation homes there. Like, there's snowbirds, right? They just go there for the winter, stay there for, like, 2-3 months and come back home when it's summer.
It just felt so, like, homey. Like, I drove to the gym. Like, fucking Trader Joe's is there. Like, it just felt really good. And we don't usually go places for that long of a time. Usually we go to, like, places for, like, a weekend, 5 days, whatever, or, like, an all-inclusive. And I just feel... like, I really do consider in the future maybe, like, investing in property somewhere there or, like, somewhere hot because I could literally go there and...
Yeah, year-round sunlight is just so good for you, too. You just feel good. Like, you feel happier. It's known to, like, cure depression. Like, seeing the sun and getting that vitamin D is, like, a good, like, prevention... Like, not cure depression, but...
No, it's you know, definitely...
Like, aids in it. Aids like, in, like, helping.
Yeah, helps in making you feel better.
However... with Florida being Florida, we did encounter some odd things. We went to this one Italian restaurant, and I called them. Do you remember the restaurant when I called them?
Oh. Dude, she literally answered the phone?
I called this restaurant to tell her we were going to be late, okay? So I'm like, ring, pretend you're the other line. Ring, ring, ring.
Keep ringing.
Ring, ring, ring.
She didn't answer for time, and then she was randomly just like, hello.
Really?
She was, yeah. As if like, as if they weren't a restaurant. As she was like, we bothered like somebody.
You bothered her. Yeah.
She was like, and then Sam didn't say anything because like she thought it was the wrong number.
I was confused.
And she was like, hello?
I was like, is this Dell, whatever the restaurant was? And she was like, uh-huh.
She's like, yeah. She's like, uh-huh.
And I'm like, like, okay.
Dude, like, what? Yeah. Do you want to so fucking confused. Make money? Like, what the fuck kind of conversation is this?
That
like,
would not fly
I was
here.
So confused. I was like, we're going to be late.
I'm actually sweating thinking about
it. Yeah, he was so cheese. I'm like, we're going to be late. Like, I just wanted to let you know. She's like, okay, bye. And they hung up. I was like,
they probably don't give a shit. Like, so then, here you have, you called me considering, like, hi. Like, yeah, no worries. Take your time. Yeah. Like, they, you know, they're just kind of like, hey.
So like, then, it's a restaurant, you know?
At
you
the same restaurant.
Like, hey, fucking thanks for calling, whatever, you know.
Was
like,
it a nice restaurant?
Yeah, it was really good. The food was really good.
That's the thing. It was like
That's
a nice
saying.
Restaurant, too.
It's a prestigious
too.
Restaurant.
They probably don't care, though. She's probably like, we'll have another customer.
Hello?
Yeah, just wait. She's like, hello? Like...
literally how she answers your phone calls. Like, that's how she answers.
Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, like...
okay, Fran answers her phone like, yeah.
Well, when like, you, it's like,
I'll
yeah.
call her. She'll be like, yeah. And then she'll call me and I'll be like, what? Anyways, then that same restaurant, it was someone's birthday. It was this lady, this table's birthday over here. And so somebody on the, like, one of the waiters was like, we have a birthday in the house. So then they brought her a cake and her husband or whatever starts singing her happy birthday. And then, like, everyone around her starts to join in. Like, we're all singing. And her back was to, like, she just turned her back to everybody singing and did not, I don't know, she was just so rude. Like, everyone was singing her happy birthday and she was, like, sitting like
this.
She
was having, like, a, you could tell she was, like, talking to her kid, like, ignoring everyone.
She was just ignoring
like,
that everyone.
Like, no one was singing happy birthday
Why?
To her.
She was talking to her kid. She was like, yeah, blow the candles. And everyone's like, happy birthday to you. And she was just like talking to our kids. She blows out the candles and like doesn't turn around. You know how like you'd be like, oh, thank you. Like,
yeah.
Nothing.
And fucking 16 people singing your rude ass happy birthday at a fucking public setting. And you're like, you're not even looking around with a smile on your face.
She was shy.
Like,
no, she was rude.
No. She just didn't give a fuck. The guy like dropped, like gave her the cake with the candles. She was like.
Yeah, like, she didn't care. She was so rude. Rome was so cheap.
Thanks for the free cake. Like she was mad about it. Like,
I also want to touch on just like what I think comes with this whole like New Year vibe, like January, February area of the year. And it's that like there's a lot of toxic positivity surrounding the New Year. Like, I just feel like everybody's sharing the fact that this is going to be the best year and I'm so excited and I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And like, I like feel like there's two sides to it for me. Like, on one side, I just feel like intense pressure that like things need to go better or bigger. It needs to be bigger and better in the new year, right? Like, I need to be like an elevated version of me. And then on the flip side, I'm like, I'm actually grateful that there's this like pinpoint in like areas of our life every year where it's like you can reflect on the year before that because you see how far you come. So like, there's two sides of it for me, but like, I feel like not really many people talk about like the anxiety that comes with the new year. Like, I personally have been experiencing a lot of disassociation, and that's because I'm anxious. Like, even in Florida, like we were walking in the mall and I thought I was feeling sick. But then like after I realized like I was having like a bit of an anxiety attack because I would start like getting anxiety just like, oh, like New Year's coming up, like what, like I need to do all these things and like blah, blah, blah. And then I'll start breathing really shallow into my chest and then I'll start like feeling hazy, like I'm not here. And so that's been happening to me a lot, like the last couple of weeks. And I think it's because I'm genuinely like getting anxious about all the pressure. So like, yeah, anyways, I just kind of like want to talk about that and like see if you guys feel the same way.
I don't get anxiety about it. The only thing that makes me nervous is like it's January and I know how many obviously months are after January and the things that like may or may not come up during those months. For example, like a lot of things for me and Sam or for me right now is up in the air, and that gives me anxiety because I don't really know what I'm getting into in the new year. But from someone like me who likes to have shit planned out from like January to like next February, I don't know, you know what I mean? Like that is what gives me anxiety, but I'm trying not to get anxious about things I can't control, things that come up that I don't know about yet. Cause it's like, you can't put your life on hold just because you're waiting for something or, you know, something happens that it's, you didn't expect it to happen. So I feel like, you know, January brings new beginnings. I think you're right too. It also kind of gives a sense of anxiety cause it's like, there's this pressure to like do something new or be something new or change something. But I feel like I'm kind of looking at it as it's just like another month and I have new goals that I want to bring into it. And if like some of those goals come to fruition, great. If not, I'm not going to get anxiety over it not happening in like a new year. It's just, it's life, you know? If it doesn't happen now, it'll happen later.
I made a distinction in my journal last night about how I think I'm really feeling and try to put it in a tangible way. And I related life like to a plane. Okay. I related life to a plane. Just listen.
Again, to a plane.
Yeah. Because on my plane ride back to Toronto, like, it was a really bad plane ride. And I was, like, thinking about, like, how I felt after it all. And I just felt, like, really beat down. I felt like I put my body through, like, torture being on that plane. Honestly, like, I was, like, dead for, like, a day.
Pretty much dead.
But the way I feel and the anxiety I feel, like, leading into the new year is like me riding a plane. Okay? Like, I am riding on the plane and it's smooth for a bit, but I'm still clenching the armrests of the seats, just waiting for turbulence to come. And then the turbulence does eventually come because there's always going to be turbulence, at least a little bit. And then I eventually make it through that turbulence and it's smooth sailing again, but I'm still clenching onto the armrests until we eventually land and I feel exhausted. So that's literally what life is like for me sometimes and what my anxiety feels like, especially at the beginning of the year. It feels like, you know, life is good, like whatever, but I'm just waiting for the ball to drop in one area of my life, whether it's like relationships with friends, family, whoever, career, opportunities, podcasts, health, something. You know, I'm just like waiting and I'm not enjoying the good times and like the smoothness and like the lows of life, or sorry, not the lows, but like the mundane parts, like where nothing's happening, because I'm always waiting for like something bad to happen or something to like ruffle my feathers. And like, after I made that distinction, I just figured for myself, like, just like I would have to act in the plane, I have to act in real life.
Yeah.
Like, I can't just wait for turbulence to come on a 16-hour flight and like put.
Sorry, opposite. how you act on a plane is not how you should be acting.
Yeah,
in
I know.
Because on a plane, you're anxious and you shouldn't be acting like that in real life. You shouldn't be waiting for something bad to happen because inevitably something is going to go wrong or not.
Yeah.
Go not your bad. Way. I'm saying
just the good things will happen, bad things will happen. It's just life.
The turbulent times is what I'm relating on a plane is what I'm relating to, like, quote unquote, bad thing to happen in life, or not even a bad thing, but just something that is kind of a roadblock or a barrier.
That's inevitable, though.
You know, exactly. But it's also inevitable that on a plane, there's going to be some bumpy parts, you know? So it's like, I need to remember in real life, like when I'm on the ground in real life, that like, there's no pressure to like always fix things or control things.
You can't
like,
control everything. You can only control
exactly
what you do.
Same thing on a plane. I can't control the plane because I'm not the fucking pilot. So I'm just going to have to, you know, sit back, relax, and I'll eventually get through the turbulence, you know, whether I'm using breathing exercises or meditation. Same thing in real life. If something comes up, I need to trust that I have the resources, tools, and people around me that are going to help me get through it. Mm-hmm. And I'll help myself get through it in the end, too. So that's what I'm trying to remember. And I just thought I'd bring that up because it's literally what I wrote in my journal last night because I made that distinction. I'm like, wow, like this makes a – it makes sense for me to, like, think about it that way.
You can control plane or whatever, but you can like control
the way you react.
You can't control your life, but you can control you and the way you react to situations and how you get through that quote unquote turbulence, right? Mm-hmm. If you're gonna, you know, brace yourself like something shitty is about to happen and then nothing happens, it's like you're literally self sabotaging the good times, waiting for something bad to happen and then giving yourself anxiety and not enjoying what's around you. At the same time, when you're going through something that's like turbulence or a bad time, like, you have to remind yourself that you can get through it because everyone's been through shit times and everyone's gotten out of it at one point or the other. So you know that you can get out of it. It's just the way that you prep your mind. You know what I mean?
Because at the end of the day, if you're anxious the whole ride, you feel burnt out at the end.
You're
like
drained.
Like I do after a plane ride. Ask him. Like the day after I ride on a plane, like I'm not one of those people that can just like go right back to work. Like, oh, I get off a flight, let me go to the office or like let me go do some work. I literally look like a zombie, feel like a zombie and act like a zombie. And I don't want to do that in real life anymore because like I used to be like that. You know what I mean? Like when like I used to be like always like this tense. On edge. Yeah. And like you get burnt out and I don't want to be like that anymore. So I thought I'd just like bring that self-awareness up. And something really quick that I am doing to just make sure that I still am writing down goals without putting too much pressure on myself that they aren't going to work out, that something bad's going to happen or a roadblock will come in between them, is just think of my life in three different areas. One of them is health and wellness. The other one's career and business development. And then the last one is personal development and relationships. In all of those three areas, what do I just yearn for or just want to happen this year in those three areas? And I just like jotted it down in my notebook. And I remind myself, these can change. Like this isn't set in stone. Like I wrote it in pencil and I can erase it. You know what I mean? And every month, I'm just going to read them. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to read them. And whatever feels good for me that month to kind of tackle is what I'm going to do. And that's the most of it. That's like the extent of it. I'm not doing any crazy rituals, nothing. And I'm not putting pressure on myself because if anything, 2023 taught me and taught us, I think, that anything can happen, bad or good. And a lot of things did happen, bad and good. And it's because we went with the flow. So,
yeah,
that's my spiel.
I want to lead into something kind of not on top, like not similar to that, but I guess I can kind of piggyback, use the corporate word there, piggyback off it.
Yeah, let's
back. I used that today in a meeting. I was like, I'm going to piggyback off that. And then I got off the call and I was like, ugh.
That's like when I say
evergreen materials. Evergreen. I hate the word evergreen.
Evergreen?
No. What's the thing I say that Fran hates?
Oh my God. You can't put the horse before the carriage or something.
No, you can't. Oh, I think we're putting the cart before the horse here. Like, you know, when you like do something before it's actually...
You've used it 5 times in a day when I was at your house. I was like, that's the worst metaphor like I've ever. Quickly, is that your worst like corporate saying that you say?
I say, yeah, probably like, I think we're putting the cart before the horse here.
Mine's, I don't know if I have the bandwidth.
The bandwidth?
I don't know if the team has the bandwidth to do that. Let me check if she has the bandwidth.
I'm at capacity. That's a good one.
Happy Friday.
Makes me cringe.
No, that's the fucking worst.
Morning all. Morning all.
How do you know that one?
I feel like that's just like a what else baser. Is there that corporate sayings? I can literally go with my team's
shot. On the agenda today, or like something about like top of the agenda today.
Yeah, top of the agenda. Evergreen. That's the worst one for me. Let's use our evergreen materials. Evergreen campaign.
Evergreen campaign.
I thought when I first started working, my first like maybe week, someone said evergreen. I thought they were talking about a tree.
I would 100% think the same thing. No, I had a
Christmas tree, like, evergreen materials. I'm like holiday, like Christmas. I looked it up. I was so embarrassed. I was like, oh my God.
Oh, you said that out loud?
No, no, no. Can I say an embarrassing thing? Thank God it was just to my work mom. That I was preparing a post-mortem brief.
No, it's post-mortem.
Okay, exactly.
Post-mortem.
No, no, no. I said two.
No, that's the worst. Post-mortem. No, no, no. When I first heard that too in corporate, I was like,
no, no, no. What? Post-mortem. But I said postpartum.
Postpartum brief?
Tell him what a post-mortem
is.
So a
post-mortem is when, let's just say you do a campaign and then you're kind of like afterwards breaking down what
it's like,
right,
a debrief.
What, yeah,
what, yeah, 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 like,
so and it was just to my work mom, thank God. I was creating a post-mortem and a post-mortem, what's it called, post-mortem, yeah, and on the title it said 360 postpartum. And I'm like, this is my postpartum. She was, Francesca, you know postpartum is after birth. And I was like, this was recent too. This was like really
recent. Is there afterbirth?
I actually heard post-mortem like recently, but I always just call it a debrief or learning.
Yeah. So I don't know. I got the words mixed up or whatever. And I was like, oh my God, thank God you caught that. Because if I presented that to the VP, I probably would have actually, like, I would have quit.
Like, you just had a baby or something? Postpartum
brief. She's like, he's going to be like, did you have a kid that no one knew?
Why did we need to learn about this?
We were laughing about it. And she was like, when I first started my career too, I had no idea. Like, I was like, what
the hell? There's a lot of jargon that you're like, this is useless. I was going to say, when I first heard evergreen, I was working at an agency. I thought it was a company. I thought it was a company's name. So I was like,
evergreen materials.
Do you want me to get evergreen documents?
Reminds me of like the finance bros.
I was like, do you want me to pull, I said documents or files. I was like, do you want me to pull evergreen's files? They're like, what? I was so fucking embarrassed.
Laughs in corporate.
They're like, you're funny.
Oh my God. Okay. I love corporate world. It's funny. Anyways,
let's wrap this up.
Yeah, sorry. So I was, do you guys ever get, speaking of like anxiety and like whatever, do you guys ever want to start something, but you stress and not start? So I've, sorry, that was like a hypothetical question. Okay.
A rhetorical.
But on TikTok, kind of, I see everything on TikTok. This girl's 2024 ins and outs. One of the outs was stressing and not starting. And I was like, wait, I actually do that. So for example, if you have like a passion project or like a business you want to open or a project you want to do, I will spend 90% of the time stressing about it and not actually starting it because I get anxiety about like starting it. Like for example, mm-hmm. I want to do something in the new year or like this like passion project of mine. And in my calendar, I've had for now 3 weeks, working session. But I like stress about the working session than not actually start it because I'm just stressing about it.
Yeah.
So instead of actually starting, randomly, like during the day, I'll take out my notepad, which I do a lot, and just like word vomit on it about things I need to do or like mm-hmm. prices or services I want to do. And like, I'll just put in my notes and then like, it'll be in my notes, but I won't actually start it is what I'm trying to say.
But that is kind of starting.
No, it's not. It's my anxiety on my notepad or my anxiety on the paper without a plan of actually starting what I want to do.
Like, but that kind of is starting though.
It's not because I've had a plan to actually start my business plan and actually execute it. And I'm not because I'm just stressing about things I need to do, what the future looks like for it, the obstacles that come out of it. So mm-hmm. I'm just scared to start is what I'm trying to say. So
you're almost coping as by like putting in your notes to like
I'm scared to start because I'm stressed about the things that would come out of it. So can I have that for a second? So I put up, people feel the same way where you just are like, you want to start something, but you're almost too, like you're stressing about it too much and you're scared to start it. So it mm-hmm. prolongs you from starting it. So I guess it's procrastination because you're scared of the outcome. I put some tips, I guess. And
I put tips, minor.
Yeah, I see it here. So I wrote it here as when you first start something. Oh, sorry. Okay, so my motto for this year is starting and not stressing because stress and anxiety is literally the root to procrastination. Like, I truly believe that. You mm-hmm. will prolong something just because you're stressed about it, and then you won't get success or results, right? So I put a few, I guess, tips that have helped me to stop stressing and then just start what I want to start so that I can, you know, get the ball rolling. So the first one is, obviously, when you start something, you have your goals. But I like to define my goals into very clear and concise, actionable goals, like things that I can do that maybe are small, but like I'm doing it so I check things off my list before I actually get into the nitty-gritty. So, for example, if your goal is to like have social media channels for your business, for example, one of my little like goals I've made attainable is to just like start the page, like start the page or make an email for it. Like it's small, but it's attainable. It doesn't give me overwhelming stress. The next one is, what did you put? 1.1?
That's me.
Okay, you can do your 1.1. We'll go
mine
back.
Mine is tackling one hard thing per day. So if my goal is that I want to start monetizing on a passion project, or I want to, I don't know, we're using the example of start a business, but it could really be anything, right? Like this is definitely more geared and like we're talking more about like that side of things, like starting a business sort of way or like seeking opportunities. But let's say the goal is to start monetizing on a passion project. Like it's pretty general. You pick one hard thing and you do it that one day. So do research on how to register your business name. That's it for the day. Or I don't know, do research on your competitors in the market. That's it. Like do one thing so that you're not like kind of doing quantity over quality, mm-hmm. A. And then also you're documenting that one thing in one place. So something I do a lot.
Sorry, is, you know, that's the thing. You're documenting one thing, one place, and you're like starting it all in one organized space.
But that's what I was going to say.
Word vomiting on notes is not really starting it in one place.
No, but I will, let's say I have a goal, okay? Like I want to start something. I will say on this day, I'm going to have a working session. Yeah. And then during that working session, like I'll just like do a bunch of things that have to do with this goal. Okay, let's say I want to start a water bottle company. I'm doing a bunch of things. I'm looking up how much money do I need to start? Like, do I need angel investors? Like, what's the name going to be? All in this like 1 hour working session
you're
I set for myself.
You're not comprehending anything.
Exactly.
You're not learning anything.
And then I'm typing it in a Google Doc. But then also like randomly, I'll start writing it in a notebook. And then I'll start like putting it in my notepads.
Yeah.
And so I have different things in like 20 different places. And then when it's time for the next working session, I'm just like,
you're finding where the things, fuck you're getting overwhelmed.
Nothing actually happens. So my tip would be do one hard thing, even if it's one hard thing per week. Mm-hmm. Like don't rush it, you know what I mean? And then like document it in one place, and then the next time you have a working session planned, circle back to that. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's my tip.
Another tip for me would be planning working sessions. But so I think me and Sam operate different on this, because you wrote something opposite than I did. And it's, I put set boundaries with yourself to prevent burnout. So for me, I'm very unproductive. Let's just say I set a working session. And again, you want to get things done in that 1 hour, mm-hmm. instead of doing it like 5 minutes at 3 a.m., 5 minutes at 6 a.m. And I tend to do that. I'll think of a thought and my thought needs to be on paper that second. Otherwise, I get like almost OCD about it. Like, mm-hmm. oh my God, like it's on my mind.
Like you're going to forget about it or
yeah.
something. Yeah.
So I'll put it down on paper and then I'll be like, okay, wait, how about I do this? And then I do this. So at 3 a.m., I'll be doing, again, 50 different million things. And it's not me setting a boundary with myself. Like, hey, this is not your working session right now. You have to do it mm-hmm. when you plan to do it. That helps me because it makes me feel less overwhelmed. But with you, I notice you put that it's like you like doing that.
Well, not that I like doing that. I do like having working sessions for like a brain dump or something. And I do that for myself. But like we have day jobs, right? We have families. We have households that we're taking care of. So sometimes when you set a working session for yourself, like things just tend to come up or you're stressed from the day. So it's almost like that time that you set for yourself is a bit distracted from the things going around it. Like, mm-hmm. at least that's what has happened for me. But then, like, it'll be nighttime. Like, it'll be, like, 10 p.m. And I'll start having, like, a bunch of, like, inspiring ideas. But I won't act on them because it's bedtime. Like, oh, no, I can't. I need to wash my face. I need to be in bed. I need to go to bed. But I've been thinking recently, like, why not just, like, get out your notebook or get out that Google Doc and start typing in that Google Doc at that time because you're actually feeling inspired. I think that that's mm-hmm. okay, too. For me, I, like...
Yeah, riding the motivation wave.
Exactly.
Like, feeling motivated.
Exactly. But sometimes I combat that because I'm like, no, I need structure, which to a point is true. Like, I do want to, like, get my sleep
that's
and get my rest.
That's why it's good to go with the flow because, like, some days if you're feeling good, like, why not change up
exactly.
your schedule? You know, you're feeling good. And like maybe feeling good will benefit you if you do something during that time.
Yeah,
right?
Like if so I set like, a working session for myself at 4 p.m. after I've gone most of my workday done, or 6 a.m. right when I wake up in the morning. Like there's circumstances like that just happened in the day that might deter you from that if this working session for this passion project isn't the only thing you're doing in your life.
Yeah, I guess.
You know what I mean? So like when you feel that inspiration, act on that inspired action.
Mm-hmm. For me, it's opposite because, like, I did that for what I want to do, and I started it at, like, 2 randomly, and then I found myself on my computer till literally 6, and then after 6 o'clock, I was burnt out. And
but
I was
you have
exhausted.
To set boundaries.
That's why my tip is set boundaries for yourself. And then my last tip would be embracing progress, and that you don't have to be perfect the second you start it. So for me, what causes my stress when I start something new is that, like, I like to think about my 10-month goal, but I'm not starting my 1-month goal. So I'll be stressing mm-hmm. about something in the future, but not starting that, like, 1-month goal, you know? So I want, for me, I want everything laid out from year 1 to, like, year 10, but, like, I have to see what year 1 looks like first. So mine would be, let me write down here. Realizing that your project doesn't have to be picture perfect from the get-go and making room for adjustments, and kind of baby steps are better than no steps at all. So that's my last tip.
100%. A step forward is still a step forward. Doesn't matter how, like, big or small.
If I'm thinking about
one hard thing a day.
Mm-hmm. If I'm thinking about opening a business tomorrow, I'm not going to be thinking about what it looks like a year 10, right? I'm going to be thinking about what it looks like month 1. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I think my last tip would be to have a bare minimum / non-negotiable for yourself every single day. And it could be something very simple, not even directly related to that passion project, the business you're trying to open, or the opportunity you're trying to cultivate. It could be, for me, let's say, wake up at 6:30 a.m. every single day, or at least try to. That's my non-negotiable. Alexa's alarm is set to 6:30 a.m., and that's what I'm trying to do, because it, for me, it ensures that I have that, like, amount of time for myself in the morning. Like I said, if I want to take some inspired action in the morning, like, that's my time to be able to do that. Or even if I just want to, like, get to the gym in the morning and, like, set my mind right for working sessions later, for work I'm about to do later, like, that's the time that, like, I really have for myself. Or maybe it's get 8 hours of sleep no matter what time you wake up or go to bed. Maybe that's your bare minimum or non-negotiable, because I think successful people, or people who are trying to start something successful, like, do those sorts of things. You know what I mean? And if you have that set in place, like, I think that there's nothing stopping you. It could even be something else. It could be, like, I don't know, ensure you drink 1 green juice every day because that gives me really good energy. Mm-hmm. Like, have those bare minimums, and it makes you feel like you accomplished something already. And you already have that natural, like, motivation. So, yeah.
Yeah, that was my little spiel. I kind of want to end off with one thing. Sam and I did our 2024 ins and outs kind of list. Can we read some of them?
Yeah.
And then I want Roman to kind of fit. From this list, Roman, I want you to kind of think about what your 2024 ins and outs would be. So outs are, like, you know, like, I don't want to have this anymore. Ins would be things that I want to bring in. So what means, Sam?
For example,
my and Sam, our 24 ins is learning how to say no, loving deeper, dancing more, routine doctor checkups, travel more, taking more risks, standing up for yourself, snacking on more fruit, weekend getaways, posting whatever you want, even if it's not aesthetic.
That's a big one for me, because I have so much content, but I'm like,
who gives a fuck? Like, sorry, excuse my language. Mine, a big one for me is being earlier on time. I just realized I have to respect people's times more.
That's true.
It's a big growth for me. Like, I, even, like, to podcast, for example, or, like, just at a birthday, like, just being earlier on time. Like, being late's not a cute look. So I want to be more earlier on time. Slippers and big socks and complimenting yourself. And then some of our outs is stressing and not starting, strict schedules, over-explaining your decisions, aimless scrolling.
That one's big for me, over-explaining my decisions. Like, for example, when I choose not to drink alcohol.
Or go out somewhere.
Or, like, go out, and then people, like, no, the alcohol thing's big for me. Because, like, we live in a world where, like, alcohol is, like, such, like, what's it called? Like a
social, like,
it's a social necessity. Like, yeah, it's like a social necessity for a lot of, like, people, friends, family. So, like, I hate when I'm just like, when they're like, why aren't you drinking? Like, what's wrong? Are you okay?
As, like, alcohol makes you more fun. Like, you have to be drunk to, like,
but it's not even that. It's like, I just don't want to. And, like, I get so frustrated sometimes. I'm like, I just don't want to. Or, like, they're offering it to you, like, are you sure? Are you sure? And I'm just like, yeah, I'm good. And from now on, I'm gonna be like, I don't drink. I'm not drinking. That's the extent of it. Because I always make excuses. I'm like, oh, yeah, I have to wake up early. Or, I don't feel that well. And it's like, bro, I just don't
want
to drink.
That's like me when I don't want to go somewhere. If my friends ask or something. And then I'm like, actually, like, this, and I have this tomorrow morning. Like, no, mm-hmm. I don't feel like going.
Yeah.
That's it. Negative self-talk. Self-serving friends, which is a big one. Consuming too much news media. Yeah. Categorizing bad food. Not saying your opinion out of fear. So those are some of our examples. What would be your, like, give me, like, 3 ins and 3 outs, and then we'll wrap up.
You guys covered, like, a lot of the same ones I would probably use. Like, being more assertive and just, like, being, like,
like communicating what I'm trying to say properly, you know, like without like over explaining or like my decisions,
yeah,
shit like that. An out would probably be, I don't know. It's hard to think like on the spot. It could be like
the stupidest thing, just something that you don't want to bring with you or do.
Vaping, yeah, definitely vaping. I definitely don't want to start like keep smoking for the rest of my life. It's a bad habit.
That's a good one.
And I always talk about this, but like I just want to still get 7 to 8 hours of sleep every night. I feel like it's literally just the cure to happiness.
That's an in.
Yeah,
more
that's
sleep.
That's an in. More sleep. And the out would be not caring about how much sleep I get and just relying on coffee to make me feel better tired in the morning.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, whatever. I can just go to bed later and just have a fucking coffee.
But also I don't think you need to, like, you stress a lot about it.
Because I think it's a very important part of your life.
It is important. It also works really early, right? So, like, non-negotiable,
I guess. I think it's important, but I don't think you should spend your day just, like, thinking about that. Because I feel like sometimes you're like, you're not in the moment sometimes because you're thinking about, oh, I need to go, like, sleep.
Yeah.
You know what's also an in for me? Napping. Like, more naps. I hate
naps. Naps are nice, too.
I love naps. I put on ASMR sometimes, like, right after work, I'll be exhausted.
Dude, I used to do that,
and I put in ASMR, and I take a 45-minute nap.
When I used to live there, her creepy ASMR, she'd be like,
so relaxing.
I used to watch people get like haircuts. They used to. It was just really? All silent. All I'd hear is like the
people like digging just dirt. That's weird.
Not digging
dirt.
Yeah,
they were like making. They houses. Were like.
That was not ASMR though. It was literally just like two Mayan people that would like build underground temples.
Oh, okay.
With like tools. It wasn't ASMR. It's like literally people like.
No, mine's ASMR. Shit. But anyways, that is it for our episode.
Thank you for joining us, Rome, joining. As always. Yeah. Thank you guys for listening to the first episode of 2024. We have so much more that we could like spill out, but we're going to wrap it up here. We're going to have a guest on next time again.
A recurring guest, actually, which we're really excited for.
Someone you've seen before, so we're excited. Other than that, we're really excited for what 2024 could potentially bring. So we hope you guys stay tuned with us. Getting bigger and better, but no pressure if we stay the same.
Yeah. Okay. Bye.